This is the Geek Dads, the podcast of GeekDad.com on the Wired Blog Network. This is episode 101. Han shot first. Forget about it. Hello again, everyone. You found it, and we're finally back. This is Ken Demied, editor and publisher of GeekDad.com, and this is the Geek Dads, episode number 101. We are embarking upon our next century of podcasts tonight, and it's been an interesting couple of weeks. And with me to discuss it, everything geek and everything dad, of course, is always Mr. Matt Blum. How you doing this week?
Not too bad, Ken. Excuse me. Just started a new job, which is very cool. I wish I could discuss more about it, but yeah.
Since the last podcast, you were laid off and found a new job.
This is correct. Yes.
Scary world. I mean, sad that one happened, and really happy that you were able to bounce back that quickly. Again, this has been a pattern with you, hasn't it, Matt?
Unfortunately, yes. It's the way things are, unfortunately. But I feel pretty lucky that considering the situation that a lot of people are in this country, that that I was able to find a new job.
Well, really, meth dealers can pick up and move whenever they need to. So.
And actually, at least so far, I like my new job better than my old one anyway. So.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Good. Well, knowing what it is, I imagine it has plenty of potential for fun. So we'll leave it at that. And we'll say hello to Mr. John Booth. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing well.
That's it? You haven't been fired? You haven't been rehired?
Earthquakes? What I did was I got fired and then, didn't find a job for 2 years. So,
ouch.
So I started a new job back in March, and it is going swimmingly.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, November will be 10 years with the current employer and consulting at the same place, and nothing ever changes. So it's good, steady work, and I'm happy to have it. Plus, there's this little Geek Dad thing that goes on.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
keeps me happy. Well, awesome. So there's been some stuff that happened since ye old episode 100. For those of us that are Apple geeks, there was a little announcement today. Did Matt you watch any of it or listen to any of it?
I didn't watch it. I did. I had a live blog. Gotcha. The Ars Technica live blog.
And John, you're running Ubuntu, so you don't care.
Crickets.
But I'm happy. I mean, we are in this. I know, Matt, you got an iPhone 4 when they came out, so you're probably in the middle of your contract right now.
Correct.
Right. We're nearing the end of our lives on our 3GSs, so my wife and I will be upgrading to the 4S in a couple of weeks, and we are looking forward to that. Obviously, it's not a earth-shattering update to the 4, but for us, it's going to be the big leap forward. There was a lot of noise. People get themselves so worked up about this kind of thing, and yeah. I didn't expect an earth-shattering update, and in many ways some of the features that they added are really bringing the iPhone into parity again with some of the other fancier Android phones that are out there and stuff. But once again, it's all going to come down to do you love this UI versus other ones? Are you embedded in the iTunes ecosystem? And and I'm perfectly happy with it, and I'm really looking forward to the step up. And the camera looks really cool. I mean, considering that the iPhone 4's camera is like the most used camera of any type out there, at least if you look somewhere like a Flickr.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As people like to say nowadays, it's not about the camera you own. It's the camera that you have with you at the moment. And if it's good enough to do nice pictures, that's great. People love the iPhone 4 camera.
Take good video, too. I mean, really, yeah. It's really kind of amazing.
And the 4S seems to be a significant step up from that and could be, you know, the best combination of glass and processing and chip that's in a phone right now.
Oh, I think you're right. I think the only downside that I can see to the to what they were announcing with the 4S is that because they're going to be higher res pictures and higher res videos, that they will take up much more space.
Right, which is obviously why they're offering a 64 gig version for the first time.
Right, but most people aren't going to get that.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that's the thing. You're going to have to offload the pictures more often if you don't want if you want to have all your music on there. So,
but hey, just, guess what? iCloud, you don't have
the cloud.
That's true.
Yeah. No. Let's see. The iCloud service doesn't count your music, but I wonder if it counts your video.
If you probably does.
It probably does. So that'll be interesting.
Because video is huge. I mean.
Yeah. But yeah, still. And you know, I think that the feature that has still been underplayed quite a bit that I really think is going to be the biggest deal is the mirroring.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, which they're already doing. I mean,
well, they've been mirroring for, I mean, you've been able to port audio out forever, but the video mirroring
that's true. Yeah.
Via both wireless and cabled, especially of game, no, not just video, but of games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, you know, there's a few things like the Roku box and stuff where supposedly you can play Angry Birds on that, but I don't think people have quite grasped the sort of mind-blowing possibility of simply pulling your iPhone out when you walk into your house and tossing the game that you've been playing from your iPhone up onto your 42-inch TV and playing whatever game it is that you love on your iPhone at, you know, what is basically pretty much very, very significant high res on the screen too. I mean, I think what is the resolution of the iPhone 4 screen of the
Retina screen? I don't remember off the top of my head.
I'm trying to think. I think it is at least the equivalent of 740p, 720p. So
I believe it is.
So there, I mean, suddenly you're going to, everything that's made for the iPhone is made for an HD TV.
Well, the iPhone 4 is 960 by 640.
Right. So that's halfway in between 720 and 1040, 1080. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's pretty killer. I mean, there are any number of you know, even if they're casual games, there's any number of casual games that I would have a blast suddenly playing up on my television. And especially, what were they showing off? They showed off
the new the new Infinity Blade.
Yeah, which you know, I believe one of the comments I saw was that they're using graphics features that even gaming consoles don't have at this point, and it's on a phone.
Yeah, it was doing like real time rendering.
Yeah,
like rendering the light rays and stuff.
Water and fish and all sorts of stuff. So I don't think people have quite got their brain around what's possibly going to happen. You're going to, while the size of the games may not be as big as what you get on a disc that you play in your Xbox or your PS3, the quality in some ways and playability are going to be as good or better, and you're simply going to carry this thing around in your pocket, play it there, and then walk into your house and play it on your TV. And I think that integration is going to be huge. So I like that. And then, you know, Siri is going to be really interesting to see. Now, John, are you an Android phone guy?
Yes. Yes, I am.
So I know there is, you know, at least decent, if not good, voice control integration on Android.
Yeah.
How deep is it?
To be honest, it's one of those things that I don't use. So I can't really speak to how deep it is or how effective it is. I mean, I use it very rarely, mostly just when I want to do a quick search for something and I'm in the car.
Yeah.
So
how good is the voice recognition as far as you've?
Oh, the voice recognition has been good from the start.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I've tried it out on other people's phones, and you know it's pretty good. If you're like just saying like navigate to,
yeah,
you know, and then you know, tell it where you're going, and right. It pulls up the GPS right away and gives you turn by turn directions.
Yes.
So I mean, yeah,
the only thing that comes to mind is last summer when I drove out to San Diego, we actually had to ask for directions to La Jolla. because it did not. I don't remember what it gave when we said La Jolla, but it did not take us there. All right,
that's
La
funny.
Yeah, well,
and then you know.
Yeah, well, see, that's what I'm wondering because you know the big what seems like the big deal with Siri, is that it's very natural language recognition, so you can phrase things differently. It's not a set of command words that. It recognizes out of a simple vocabulary. It's a very broad vocabulary, and it's very, very natural. So I'm waiting to see whether or not I played with the Siri app way back when, and it was really cool. And it did certain things at that point. The talk that it's integrated into Wikipedia, integrated into Wolfram Alpha, so that on top of, give me directions to or find me a restaurant, you can ask it to solve math problems. And
yeah, on the other hand, how often do you really need to do that?
Well, I mean, I think it becomes
I'm just saying.
No,
that's not the point.
That's not the point. Well, no, but I mean in terms of like the Wikipedia resource, how many times are you in a discussion with someone and you go to your phone and pull it out and have to start typing with your thumbs to look something up? What if you just pulled your phone out, hold down the button and just say, "Siri, who played the red shirt in episode 24 of Star Trek, the original series?"
Oh, yeah, I agree that's cool. But again, not. I don't know. Yeah. It's definitely very cool if it works as well as right. advertised.
Right.
Actually, honestly, the part of it that I think is the coolest is the dictation.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty big. Like, so you could send a text message to somebody while you're driving without, crashing your car. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Which is huge. Could actually save people's lives. I mean,
yes.
So.
Bill in the chat room says Siri equals the knowledge navigator. Remember that.
Yeah, I did. I did think it was a little bizarre that they demonstrate. Although it is kind of cool that he's saying wake me up at 6 a.m. Because really, how long does it really take to set an alarm? I mean, I'm sorry, it's just not that hard.
It's let me put it this way though. It's how many clicks are you saving? You know what? You're holding down the thumb and then you're saying something versus click to the folder where you've got the clock, click open the clock, click to the tab for alarms, and either create a new one or start it. No, I mean,
if you do it every day the way, a lot of people do, including myself, you do it really fast.
Yes.
I think it's cool. I don't know why it was really necessary.
You know what it comes to? I see this as the continuation of a theme, not unlike what OS X Lion does in and of itself. It's getting the file system and getting the OS out of the way so that now there are 20, 30, 50, 80, 100 different things that you can do simply by talking to your phone rather than actually having to click through and type and do them manually. So I think it makes sense from an Apple point of view. It's the next step towards, the computer on the enterprise.
That's true.
So they need to change her voice to Madril Barrett's.
That's where I was going. Yep.
Yes, well, sadly, she's not around to record.
No. Too bad. All right. Well, we can. The only other thing out of that.
They need to get Stephen Fry.
Oh, that would be excellent.
That would work.
Yeah,
I could get along with that.
You want to navigate to where? No. that's rubbish. And we'll get out, because only 90% of our audience likes Apple, so we'll get off of this quickly. But the only other thing that I thought was cute, and I don't know if you saw this in the details, is the small upgrade to the iPod Nanos.
I saw something about that.
Making the buttons work better, but the best part, of course, being is their complete acknowledgement of the fact that most people are using the Nanos as watches.
Yep.
So they added something like 12 or 14 new watch faces that you can use, including a classic analog Mickey Mouse watch face and supposedly a Muppets watch face.
Well, if they're doing Mickey Mouse, they're already talking to Disney.
So exactly. Yeah. So we'll expect Matt to have one of these very soon.
I'm perfectly happy with my iPhone. I don't see any reason to have an Anna.
I know. It's you've already got a watch in your pocket, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I haven't worn a watch. Yep. Yeah, I don't even
me neither. No, see, no tan line on that wrist. None whatsoever.
Yeah, since I started carrying a cell phone with me every day, I just got out of the habit of it.
Exactly. Yeah,
what's the point, really?
There's no point. So,
you people are killing watchmakers. Killing.
Yes, we are.
Well,
No, you know what it comes down to is you got to do something interesting in your watch. You go to one of my favorite sites for watches is Tokyo Flash.
Oh, yes.
Those guys. Watches
that are very cool, but they take you 10 minutes to read.
Exactly, yeah. That's the best thing. Binary watches and watches that simply use, in and out fading colors or patterns to tell you what time it is, but they look awesome. So that's where watches have to go. They have to give you a reason to want them other than telling the time.
I was always a fan of the classic Disney Goofy watch that ran backwards. I love that.
Excellent.
I think I went through two or three of those.
That's excellent. So Matt, speaking of Muppets.
Yes.
Segue. You took a little trip in the last 2 weeks on top of your change of employment and other excitement.
I did.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
I can't go into as much detail as I'd like to about some things because there's some stuff is embargoed. But I went on a junket for Disney and DreamWorks a little bit too, although run by Disney, for the movie Real Steel, which opens this Friday, and which I'm going to have a couple of posts about before the end of the week, and also for The Muppets, which was a great deal of fun. Included in that was I did get to actually visit the Jim Henson Company, and didn't get to see quite as much of it as I would have liked to, but couldn't take pictures of any of it. But it was very cool, and I did in fact get to interview Kermit and Miss Piggy.
Ooh, excellent!
Wow.
Excellent. They weren't fighting back and forth itself, the whole time.
It was me and like 22 other people, but it was pretty cool.
Did you get any good, inside dirt on their relationship? Or
it was really a lot of fun.
When is Kermit going to pop the question? I mean, come on, he's been stringing her along for all this time. We thought he was a good, decent kind of guy, but obviously he still likes playing the field. Or the lily pad, or whatever.
And they did, I can't go into too hugely much detail, but they did mention something about, Miss Piggy did anyway, having baby figs.
Having baby figs?
Frog and a pig.
Got it.
Baby figs.
But... no, it was just pretty cool because, they come in and it's the Muppeteers holding the Muppets and they've got, their hand stuck up them, and they've got, their other hand is, holding a rod that's attached to the left arm, and they sit down and they really do an amazing job. I mean, I know they do it, they've been doing it for a very long time. Actually, I don't know how long the guy who's doing Piggy has been doing it. Frank Oz stopped doing it, I think, in something like 2000. But whereas Steve Whitmire has been doing Kermit since just after Jim Henson died, excuse me, in 1990. But they know the characters. And you really almost don't even notice the Muppeteers after a couple minutes. You really, they're sitting right there. But it's the Muppets that are really talking.
Yeah, it's just these quiet assistants sitting behind their celebrities, and
obviously they're talking, but still, it really does kind of feel like it's coming out of the Muppets. It's really it's bizarre, but it's really cool.
That's one of the things I've heard is over the years, even when you hear that when the adults go on the show in Sesame Street and that kind of thing, that even adults are surprised at how quickly they adapt to, no, that's Kermit. I'm talking to Kermit, and there's not a guy there. it's because they do such a great job with the personalities and just fully inhabiting those characters.
Right, which has really always been the magic of the Muppets, that they really did seem like they were living characters, though. Like they weren't just puppets. And I think that really sums up really what the big why they have had such enduring popularity, because they really have that. People get that feeling from them.
Very cool.
But it was very cool. I also found out, which I had not known previously, that the Jim Henson Company, and when they moved to their current location about 10, 12 years ago or something, it's actually the site of the studios that Charlie Chaplin built back in like 1917. And they still have some of the same original building.
So where is this?
In Hollywood.
Oh, okay. Because Chaplin also built studios up here near me, but...
Right, Bill. This was
earlier. Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's right. It's on La Brea Boulevard, I think.
Okay,
or something.
Interesting.
But like the Creature Shop, is apparently in this. I mean, obviously, it's been renovated significantly in the last, almost 100 years. But where they filmed some of the scenes from the Gold Rush. It's like it looks like an old barn.
Oh, neat.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I couldn't go in there, unfortunately. I can see the outside. Yeah, that was cool.
Awesome, awesome. So, what about that guy we saw in that picture with you?
The real steel part I can talk about, which is very cool. Like I said, I'm going to have a couple of posts, one tomorrow, probably one Thursday, and definitely a full review on Friday when it comes out. we got to meet Hugh Jackman, which was a great deal of fun. He's the star of the movie. He is incredibly nice, and I was ready for it, but it's almost jarring because he never actually uses his real accent when he's acting,
right?
To hear the Australian accent.
Yeah. but
he's just incredibly nice, and the fact that I was, there were two other guys there, and of course it was mostly mommy bloggers, so there's all these women who are, like hoping he'll take his shirt off, basically, but so it was kind of cool, but excuse me, and I also did get to meet Sugar Ray Leonard, which was pretty cool.
He
consulted on the movie for the boxing.
Oh, neat!
Part of it to make it make it seem realistic, and he was incredibly nice too. And I think I'd heard him, seen interviews with him before, but you don't necessarily think of boxers as people who are well spoken, and he definitely was. I mean, he was.
I've always heard him in interviews. He's
he's very intelligent. He's very funny, and he's aging pretty well too, I gotta say. he is a small man, though, definitely.
Yeah, he was. What was he? Was he lightweight or?
Yeah, some middleweight. Definitely not more than that. Yeah,
yeah.
He couldn't been.
Yeah.
I honestly, I've never been the hugest fan of boxing, so I don't really know. And we also got to meet, of course, the director and the writer, and some of the producers, which were also cool. No, don't get me wrong, and. But a lot of fun, but didn't quite compare to the Jackman and Leonard. So very, very cool. And we also got to meet two of the robots, which was pretty darn cool. Because, well, of course, most of the time they're CGI, like when they're fighting in the movie, because that would be almost impossible to do with actual robots. they just did motion capture. They showed us some of the effects before and after. They did motion capture on people and then just superimposed the robots on them. And but for some of the close-up shots, when they're doing like maintenance on the robots and such, they actually built robots. And they actually made some of it animatronic too, which is pretty cool.
So very cool.
You can see the the heads move and such. And did they motion capture Hugh Jackman? Somebody asks. No, he doesn't. It really, the robots
just to play himself. He's asking, not.
Oh, yeah. He plays himself. Yeah.
Yeah. These days, Hugh Jackman's always CG. Even if it's a live action film, they just CG him in. Yeah.
It's
those abs aren't real. I mean, come on.
He only takes his shirt off for one scene. But of course, they had to have one scene because, you know, they have to get the women to see it. And it's a very good movie. It is PG-13, and there are a few, excuse me, there are a few bits that are possibly a little intense for younger kids. There's a scene where, it's him and a boy, who's supposed to, you know, his character's son, and they get, well, he gets beaten up and his son gets, you know, manhandled a bit, excuse me, but still a very good movie. And like I said, I'll have a full review, but it's definitely worth seeing. Not, it's not without its flaws, but a good movie all in all.
Awesome.
And
cool.
And the kid who plays his son is just, is really good. He's been in a few things. The only thing I think I've seen him in is he played in Thor. When you see Thor as a kid briefly, He was Thor as a kid. But you know, obviously not a big role, but, he's a lot of fun. He's got a great attitude. And, somebody says, yeah, in the trailer, the robot mimics Jackman. Yeah. The robot that they end up fighting with, whose name is Atom, Atom, it does what they call shadowing, where he's supposed to be like a sparring robot originally. And he has a mode where he mimics you. So he mimics people. So that's how they teach him.
Whoa, my lights are flickering.
Yeah, I saw that.
This podcast may end quickly. It's a little nerve wracking, so we'll see.
Hey, wait a minute. Losing the internet connection is my job.
No, that'll be interesting. Yeah, you know, we've had, you know, a little early winter weather here this week, and you never know, somebody's going to slide into a pole and knock out a power line. So
yeah.
Had winter weather then?
Yeah, it's been raining for the last 2 days.
Oh, okay.
It's October, damn it. This is California. I should be in shorts and a tank top. Come on.
I dare say it's probably
keep using the word winter. I do not think it means what you think it means.
No, it doesn't, thank goodness. And that's why I live here.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so let's see. What else we're going to talk about? We sort of did our tech thing. Anyone interested in the Kindle Fire?
I am hugely interested in the Kindle Fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
As soon as it, when I saw it and I started reading about it, I told my wife, I said, you know, this is what I'm going to want for Christmas.
Excellent.
Because I think iPads are very, very cool. However, when I look at, you know, our family's budget and what I would use it for and that kind of thing, I've never been able to kind of justify,
right,
you know, the price of an iPad for our family.
Right.
And at the other end of the spectrum, I've always felt like even as Kindles have gotten cheaper, I'm still buying it for basically a single use,
right,
which, you know, so when the Kindle Fire was announced and for the price point and everything, that's what I'm looking for. So with any luck, I'll be able to,
right,
take one for a test drive.
Now, Benjamin mentions, don't all the cool features require an Amazon Prime subscription?
Amazon Prime subscriptions are not that expensive.
Yeah,
if that's true. I mean,
I think, aren't they? Isn't it? If you get the more expensive version of the Fire, isn't Amazon Prime included?
No, it's like a promotional thing.
Those,
first three or 6 months,
yeah,
you get it.
Oh, okay.
But again, I mean, Amazon Prime, if you order a lot,
yeah,
if you order a decent amount from Amazon, it pays for itself.
It really does. Yeah. And yeah, we have it. And
yeah
it's true. But that, yeah. So Benjamin, things like streaming movies and TV shows. Yeah, there's a hard challenge. We haven't seen how the ecosystem will work exactly. You might be able to, like, pay on demand for some stuff without having a Prime subscription. The Prime subscription will get you access to the sort of limited, back episodes, TV and movie library that they've got at this point. And I'm not clear what it will do for the music. You might have to have it for the music too, but, The real question is, okay, so it's it's only an 8 gigabyte machine. So do you sync music to it or do you stream music to it? So if you're going to stream music to it,
right,
what service do you have to use? Is it the Amazon cloud music thing? Therefore, do you need to pay for that or pay for the Prime account or something? I'm not clear on all of those things.
Well, I mean, all you have to do to get the Amazon cloud thing is just buy an album on Amazon.
Yeah.
And you get like 2 gigabytes already.
Very true. Very true. Mm-hmm. I mean, from what I see of it, of the Prime or of the Fire, it basically has about half of the really good features of an iPad and it's half the price. And mm-hmm. it looks like it is quality hardware and sort of they've really thought about the software so much more than so many of the other Android tablets.
Yeah.
It appears that they've done an excellent job of integrating it into their ecosystem and making it do what they want it to do very well. So that's why I think it has the best chance of any of the Android tablets that have come out to date.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. And I mean, the web browsing, especially with Silk, is it's really cool.
Have you played with it?
No, but I've seen benchmarks on it, and it really does speed things up quite a bit. Assuming everything I've seen is correct, but it's
right. Certainly. Mm-hmm. Do we know if it has Bluetooth capabilities?
I don't. I'm looking at it right now, though. Let's see.
It doesn't have a mic, and it doesn't have a camera.
I don't see anything about Bluetooth here. So you would not
be able to hook up an external keyboard to it.
That is true.
Okay. So I was looking at, you know, and I'm not saying that as a negative. I'm just sort of trying to figure out where the line of demarcation of functionality is, and you know, for what the price are paying. And so, I mean, you know, all the video it'll do, all of, you know, and we have to see what their app store will allow it to do. I find it very interesting that some people, detractors, rail against Apple and the iTunes ecosystem for being closed. And it looks like what will probably be the most successful implementation of an Android, quote, open, quote, tablet will also be a very closed ecosystem device. And there's a little bit of irony there, but I think these two companies, very successful in their domains, have figured out what you have to do to make it work for the everyday user and make it a flawless, seamless, useful experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you're going to get with both of them. I think at the price point, you know, after all those HP touchpads went on sale for $99 and they sold like hotcakes, mm-hmm. it was obvious that if there was decent hardware at a decent price, there was a subset of the market that would jump on it. And I think that's what you're seeing here.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Incidentally, it says that you get free cloud storage for all your Amazon content when you buy the
there you go.
The Kindle Fire. So.
So that's it. You're buying any movies, buying any. But there's the thing. Oh, no 3G. So you have to be on Wi-Fi all the time.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know.
Although these days, that's not hard.
It's not. No, it's not. Just, you know, that's one of those lines. So those are the feature differences. And mm-hmm. it, you know, it's very interesting, too, because these two companies are going at it from two different directions. Amazon is actually happy all for, you know, all the reports we've seen, they're probably losing 10 to $40 per device.
Right.
Just when they sell them. But they're happy to do that because they're selling the razor and making it up in the blades.
Yep.
Whereas Apple makes all their money on the hardware, and the actual content sales, while it is a profit center, is an afterthought in comparison. Not an afterthought, but it's a smaller chunk of their pie.
So, probably so.
Yeah. That's what it's always, I mean, that's how it's always been represented. They're making, you know, 35 to 45% margins on their hardware. which would take them, you know, selling thousands of songs to match per device, whereas Amazon is making all of their margin on the songs and the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And the apps.
Yeah. And the apps. Anyway, yeah. But we got to see, yeah. And we'll see how that app store works. But I'm excited. I'm actually excited for the Fire. I think, you know, that the whole market needed it in that place. And I don't think it is a direct competitor per se with the iPad, other than it being something that some people will get because they can't afford the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, feature for feature, it doesn't compete. And to a certain extent, people are going to buy one or the other depending upon what they need the device to do, not because they think one is better than the other. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So more power to them.
Yeah, it definitely does not have Bluetooth, by the way.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell.
So if you're going to listen to music, you have to be plugged in with straight headphones, and there won't be any external keyboards. So your web browsing and any other content creation will be much more limited.
Yeah.
But that doesn't appear to be the point. It's a content consumption device.
Right.
So awesome. Yep. Awesome. All right. Well, let's see. Last thing on the list, Halloween plans. Geeky Halloween plans. Do you guys do up your houses, your front yards?
No, we're kind of restricted with what we can do. We can only do a little bit. Neighborhood association.
Ah, John?
We do not. My daughter, however, while she is, by some measures, she considers herself too old to go trick-or-treating. She actually this year, we've gotten very into Doctor Who over the last year.
Good for you.
And she has a friend who is a tall redhead who's a Doctor Who fan. And so her friend said, "Hey, I'm going to be Amy Pond." And Kelsey said, "I will be the doctor."
Excellent.
did you see the T-Fury?
Pardon?
Did you see the T-Fury? You know, the T-shirt site, T-E-E.
Yes. No, I did not.
Go see it. Go look.
Okay.
It's long story short, there's a T-shirt that makes you the current doctor.
Yeah, it's like a tux shirt, only it's Doctor Who.
Yeah. Bow tie and jacket.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So it's excellent. But that could be a cheap way to get her the costume.
Exactly.
Well, I told her, I just ordered her we ordered her a sonic screwdriver.
Good.
And this summer I actually got very cheap. I got one of those nice the Master Effects lightsabers. So I said we're gonna totally have to take a picture, you know, of both of us each holding our weapon of choice and do a poster with generational conflict or something like that on it.
So who, all right. So, I don't know if anyone's really, you know, anyone who wanted to watch the season finale has probably watched it at this point. So we can warn some spoilers here if we want to talk a little bit about it. How did folks like the season finale?
We liked it a lot.
Yeah.
It's always a difficult thing when they build up a great story arc, you know, because eventually they have to find some way to resolve it. And I know there are going to be people who nitpick about certain things, but for the most part, it was the best of what I like about Doctor Who, which is, okay, that's resolved, and even if I'm not still quite grasping everything about it, I like having my brain scrambled a little now and then. Yeah. You know,
I think it's very, yeah. It was good. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, I've read some analysis of it that was sort of. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a ton of fun, and I can't wait for where things go next. I'm looking. I'm so looking forward. After last year's Christmas special, our family still celebrate the Christmas shark. So, I cannot wait for the next Christmas special. But yeah, it was just a bunch of fun. It was cool seeing Charles Dickens and Winston Churchill again, and
oh my gosh, the Charles Dickens reference was just, you know, we had to pause it and scream at the TV because we were like, that's awesome.
I said, oh yeah, yeah. See, there's a good question, Bill. Who was singing the nursery rhyme? Yeah, good question. We still don't know why the TARDIS originally blew up in last season too. So on and so forth. You know, there's still stuff out there, and maybe it'll always be out there. But we've enjoyed the ride and enjoyed how things happened. So stop typing.
I never cease to be amazed at what a good job the writers of that show do at the way they create their story arcs over the season.
Yeah.
I mean, I love, you know, they do such a good job of having the standalones and then just kind of slowly building so that almost without realizing it, you get to that those last three episodes and realize that the quiet backstory has now taken center stage.
Right.
You know, they do a good job of, they always plant something like 4 or 5 episodes before the end, and then it winds up playing a role. You know?
Yeah.
I can't think of what are their names. The little people inside the robots.
Yes, they were awesome.
You know, they planted that episode. That was, you know, 4 or 5 episodes back.
Yeah.
Made for a neat standalone. And then, well, of course, they turned out to play a key
role. Right.
So,
I mean, over the current Doctor's run, how many of us, especially, you know, who are geeks and stuff, love the fact that Rory has basically become a badass? Yeah, the guy whom you thought in the first couple of episodes was the sort of pasty, meek boyfriend who was lucky to have Amelia Pond, and you know probably would get jettisoned along the way so that she could just go have adventures with the Doctor. He has become like a hero on the level of the Doctor in terms of, you know, a romantic hero in terms of he's the guy, you know, he lived for thousands of years waiting for his love to come back and so he could protect her. And then, you know, the whole bit where he and the Doctor were off setting everything up for that assault on Demon's Run, mm-hmm. the whole bit with the Cybermen ship, you know, I have a statement and a question. What is your statement? Do you want to hear the question again? Yeah. So much fun. So much fun.
Oh yeah, Kelsey could not stand Rory at the beginning. She was like, "Oh, he's so, you know, he's whiny and he gets in the way." And then, you know, then all of a sudden she finds herself going, "Wow, Rory's kind of awesome."
Yeah. Yeah, Bill brings up that same sort of thing happened to an extent with Mickey from Mecca. On the other hand, you know, you got to completely discount him because he was also one of the writers. So he got to do what he wanted to with And Jack, I don't know. Would you count Jack as going from... I don't know. That's a good question. Jack's such a great character.
Yeah.
The face of Bo. All right. Anyway, I guess we can sort of wrap this up.
I did want to mention since they've announced it on Twitter, so I think it's probably safe to say to say congratulations to Michael Harrison and Natani Barron.
Yes, geek dads and geek mom who are expecting
their second child, which is very very cool.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, I got to figure if they put it on Twitter and Bob Boyle has responded to them. And
it's on, if it's on Twitter, I think it's, you know.
Yeah, it should, yeah.
they can't.
Spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers. Really? Really? I'm very sad for Natanya. She tweets, the worst part about being pregnant, like before, bacon smells like death and coffee tastes like vinegar.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Aw.
Oh, the horror. My goodness.
That's quite a sacrifice she's making, man.
Really? So. It is. All right. Anyway, last thing on our list is that the weekend after this is New York Comic Con, and the Geek Dads and Geek Moms will have a presence at New York Comic Con. In fact, there will be a Geek Dad, Geek Mom panel on Sunday at 11. I'm not exactly sure off the top of my head where the what room it'll be in, but they're having a sort of kids' day at New York Comic Con, and we are invited to do a panel. So we'll be doing a version of our Geek Dad Geek Mom panel, which ought to be a ton of fun. And then I think before that, I will be signing Geek Dad books.
Oh, very cool.
If anyone wants to bring their books by and have them signed by yours truly, I would be really, really happy and tickled to do that.
Very, very cool.
And,
this is the first time you and I are both going to be on the panel, Ken.
That's awesome. It's about freaking time.
And this will be the first time that I have never met Ken.
There you go.
Oh, right.
No.
Yeah, well, I can take that or leave it. But anyway, no. It's going to be up. That'll be very cool.
I'm a wee bit excited about the New York Comic Con.
Oh, it's going to be very cool.
And let's see. So anyone who wants, I'm going to be free all day Saturday. So I'm happy to, go around, meet folks at the con. I want to, just get in and see as much as I can. Friday night, I'm going to the Nerdist, the early Nerdist taping, which I am looking forward to.
Very cool.
And so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually not getting in until Saturday morning, unfortunately. new job can't really take a day off yet.
Oh, no. Too bad. I have to. All right, Bill, you're killing it in the chat room. Just trying to imagine what New York nerds sound like. Bada boom, bada bing. Hand shot first. Forget about it.
I think perhaps it's not all New Yorkers do sound like that. just saying.
Yeah,
but 8 million people,
I believe it. I believe it. Of course, they'd be saying, "What, California nerds, dude, Han shot first, like totally."
Valley girl nerds, yeah.
Surf nerds, yeah. awesome, awesome. All right, so feel free. Hopefully, I'll be walking around. Hopefully, most of us that are there will be walking around in our Geek Dad, Geek Mom t-shirts on Saturday and Sunday. Come say hi to us, and cool beans like that. All right, do you want to do some quick posts of the week and get the heck out of here?
your California accent's being criticized, Ken.
Yeah, Bill, I know where you live.
Anyway. Posts of the week. I have no idea.
do you have any posts? Did I spring that upon you? Because we've never done it before on the podcast.
We got off on other subjects. I forgot what I was going to mention. I was just going to mention Kathy had a post today about kids signing up for the Jeopardy tryouts.
Right.
And I just thought I thought that was pretty cool. I didn't realize they were doing things with kids that young. since this is kids born in between 1999 and 2002, so they're going to be at most 12. I thought before that the youngest they had done was high school, so I think it's pretty cool they're doing that. And in fact, my son may sign up to take the test. He hasn't decided yet. I have to say, going on Jeopardy was very cool. I did go on Jeopardy 11 years ago, and it was a lot of fun. The whole experience, even though I lost. And so if your kid is at all interested, it is a very cool thing to do.
So, what you're saying is you lost on Jeopardy, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, a week after my show aired, a group of my friends and I went to see Weird Al. In Lowell, Massachusetts. I was living right near there at the time, and he sang that.
Nice.
Nice.
Everybody, all of my friends, of course, turned to look at me.
Fantastic. Actually, we just watched, because it was on TV, they did a truncated version of what'll be on the DVD for the Alpocalypse tour, and I sat and watched it with my boys. It was moving. It truly
moving. My kids have decided they love Weird Al.
Yeah, same for us. Eli will, on a second's request, will rap all of White and Nerdy.
Can you get him to stop?
No, that's the problem.
So it's usually not a problem to get my kids to start doing something like that. It's getting them to stop.
Right.
That's the problem.
Right. So that's my post of the week was Anton mentioned the DVD is available now, even before the tour is over. And from the special they showed, which was probably less than half of the DVD, it was hilarious. Tons of fun. So.
Oh, as always, he does great concerts. He really does. I don't know how the heck he changes clothes so fast.
Yeah, scary. Scary. It's really... But he's been doing it for a while.
I know. He's got to have some good secrets. But yeah.
Awesome. John, you got any post of the week you want to do?
I do. And I'm not saying this not because it's a post I wrote, but because I cannot possibly say enough about how great a gift that mail order mysteries book is for anybody who grew up looking at those in books for X and sea monkeys and the remote control monsters. It is absolutely
and we're losing John.
Yeah, we've lost a lot of you there.
You're breaking up. His orbit's degrading. He's going in.
I think what he's trying to say is mail order mysteries rocks.
Yes. So short answer.
To distill it down.
Yep. So. Crickets. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, John. All right, then.
We still wait until the end of the podcast.
Yeah, thank goodness. All right, so other than... Yep, and he just dropped off. Other than New York Comic Con, any other geeky stuff that we have come up in the next few weeks?
Nope. I mean, I got a couple... I'm going to have the Real Steel posts the rest of this week, which you should look for. Very cool. Very cool movie. A lot of fun. And... very cool robots.
Excellent, excellent. Of course, you know, now that I actually start thinking about it, I realize, holy Toledo, I have 4 weeks until the next Geek Dad book comes out.
Oh, right.
Oh, okay, good. you're still there, John, but you're still sounding only half there, so.
Mm.
We got that, though.
Yeah. Yeah, Comcast is throttling you right now. Yeah, so that's coming up. And I will be in New York for New York Comic Con next weekend, the 14th, 15th, 16th.
That's why.
And then I will be back in New York the last Saturday of November for the Wired pop-up store.
All right, very cool.
So 2 visits in a month and a half. Exciting. And, it's a big stuff. Of course, we're going to try and have some hip tracks, 12 Days of Geekmas coming up soon. I got to go, go talk to Z about that and see what we can do with it.
Well, not that soon, but
we're a few. Yeah. Not October, November. We got to get through Halloween first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. All right.
It's only October.
John, anything you can, anything you got in the pan, in the fire? With the bandwidth to say it? No? Okay.
Apparently not.
All right. Then I'm just going to say this has been the Geek Dads, episode number 101. I'm Ken Denmead, editor and publisher of geekdad.com. I would like to thank my managing editor, Mr. Matt Blum. Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome. Thank you, as always, for hosting.
Absolutely. And thank you to Mr. John Booth. Say goodbye, John. God, I was hoping that goodbye, John, would get through. We know you're there. We can hear you laugh. Thanks for being on the show, John. And we'll thank everybody in the chat room. And we will see you next time. So long, folks.
So long, everybody. Geek Dad.